Mark. Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and certainly you're welcome to join us anytime you want. It's easy. It's a car show. It's about cars, RVs, tire pressure, fluids, synthetic oil versus semi-synthetic oil versus conventional oil. And the conventional oil I affectionately call Fred Flintstone oil because that's what we all grew up on. And obviously we have three levels and three qualities and three pricing structures for the three oils that we have today. What's important about the oil, though, I can tell you in a nutshell, is it's all backward compatible. It's just like DOS. It's just like Windows. It's just like everything else in your life. It's backward compatible. So you can use a synthetic oil in your car if you want to, no matter what year, make, or model it is. It'll provide superior protection from heat, from wear, from all kinds of stuff. It has detergent in an oil isn't really scrubbing bubbles, so to speak. It's when the byproduct of the wear of the engine falls into the oil holds it in suspension. So pretend this little drop of microscopic metal comes off of the crankshaft, which is normal. It goes down into the oil, but it doesn't fall to the bottom of the oil pan where all the trash is at. It stays in suspension so that when that oil goes through the filter will grab that. So detergent in an oil isn't a scrubbing bubbles. Nothing, I want to create the perception it's scrubbing bubbles. Detergent holds the trash in suspension. It's kind of like dropping an olive in a glass of water. Well, the olive's either going to float or it's going to fall to the bottom. Well, dirt in detergent in oil, it holds the olive in the middle. So the next time it goes through the filter, we clean it up. Those are the kinds of things we talk about, but if you have a car problem or if you have an estimate in front of you and you're wondering about the symptoms of the estimate or you're wondering about if the pricing was okay and stuff like that, I can only talk parameters, but it's best that I just talk to parameters, but you're welcome to do that. There's five lines, and they're all open right now, 602-508-0960. 0960 is because you're listening to The Patriot at 960 KKNT, and we already have a caller. And who might that be, Gil?
Say good morning to Linda.
Linda, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. Can I help you?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I have a 2008 Infiniti G37, and I've had it to like five different places, and they cannot diagnose it correctly, so I wanted to get some ideas from you.
Tell me what the symptoms are.
It was hit. Involved in a hit and run. A car was going towards it and hit it in the driver's front panel,
okay.
Quarter panel, and it was parked. And since then, in a body shop who did Ren diagnostics, they replaced the quarter panel.
No, hold on. Linda, stop. I don't care what they did and wasn't successful. What they did and what I want from you is describe now what it's doing now that you're unhappy with.
It's vibrating in the steering wheel, and then while I'm at a stoplight, if I put it in neutral, it stops.
Okay, we are halfway there. Have you ever tried close your eyes, you put it neutral, you feel it, you put it in reverse, you feel it, you put it in drive, and you feel it. Have you tried that test?
Yes.
Okay, does it vibrate in both reverse and drive?
Yes.
Okay. And when
the RPMs go down.
Okay, we're not going to do RPMs right now. We're just asking questions and answers. So what I hear you say is that when you're in neutral, it's a smooth feeling, and when you put it into drive, you feel the vibration of the engine, perhaps, and when you take it and go past neutral to reverse, you feel the vibration in the engine. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's not that hard. Your engine sits on three big rubber pillows. It's two engine mounts and one tranny mount. And so it's a piece of metal with a big sandwich of maybe an inch and a half thick of rubber. And then there's metal on the top, metal on the bottom. The top bolts to the transmission, the bottom bolts to the frame. And so the engine sits on three pillows. And when we put it in drive, the motor actually lifts up on the left side of the motor. And when that happens, it relieves the stress of the front mount or the left mount, whichever, whether it's front wheel drive or rear wheel drive. And so we know that. So we get in your car, we're in neutral, we close our eyes, we put it in reverse, we feel it, we rev the motor a little bit, we see if the RPMs make a difference, then we put it back in neutral, it's still gone, we go back to drive, we go to reverse, and we do that. That's what us old guys do. And so this isn't that hard to fix. But you're not going to get the quarter or the loop, the quick loop facility or the tire shop to do this because this isn't in their ballpark. What part of town do you live in?
Sun City.
Okay. I would probably go down to Larry Harker's Auto at 38th Avenue and Indian School. I'd make an appointment there. I would say to them that I have a vibration in the vehicle that I can duplicate, and I would like to have you take a look at it for me.
Okay.
And I am 100% sure that Bob and Ellen, Ellen's the front counter lady, and the boss, and Bob, who's in the shop with the technicians, I'm 100% sure that they can identify the problem. Now, it's going to be...
I've had it do... Yes?
On a 1 to 10 scale, Linda, this is a 5. So I can't comment on where you've had it and how come nobody can do it. If you're answering my questions truthfully with a yes, no, or I don't know, then clearly we have a vibration that's in a loaded position on the shifter. This isn't going to be an engine problem. This isn't going to be a spark plug problem. This isn't going to be a fan belt problem or a transmission problem. It's not going to be any of those. There's something wrong with the mounts. One of them's collapsed. One of them's broken. One of them's grounded. That's the problem. So,
okay.
That's the only choice I can offer you. We have to get you away from... How many shops have you been to?
5.
And all of them had a different diagnosis?
The last one was a transmission place, and they said no motor mounts, no transmission mount. Everything suspicion looked good. And so, out of 5, I thought, okay, one more, and surely that'll be the same one. Diagnosis as the others, but
okay. Well,
you got it right.
Well, looking at the motor mounts is quite different than testing the motor mounts. It takes two people to test the motor mounts. So, under the best of conditions, this is a 10-minute job. Loaded on the hoist, one of the seasoned guys gets inside. You ready, John? Yeah, Mark. Ready when you are. Okay, go ahead and put it in drive, and I want you to just give it a little bit of rupa with the throttle, and I want to see you stretch that right side engine mount because you're in drive. Actually, at the left side. I got my torque situation backwards. So he's going to get in there, and he's going to put it in drive, and he's going to touch the gas, rupa, and I'm going to see the mount stretch and fall back on rubber, or I see the mount come apart. I look and go, whoa, we got a broken mount. But you can't see a broken mount most of the time. You got to see it stretched. So you take the engine and you tilt the engine. So I can't explain why you're having that.
Is that a stall test?
I'm sorry?
Is that a stall test?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You get in and you put it in drive and you hold your foot on the brake and you're not going to let the car move. And you throttle up real hard and let go. Throttle up real hard and let go. But somebody down below is watching the mount. So between the two of you, you both have to say, I didn't feel anything up north in the cab, and you didn't see the mount come apart down below. We're home free. Now I go to reverse. Mm-hmm. I do the same thing, and I'm stretching the mounts. And so, Linda, Harker's Automotive, Harkers, at 38th Avenue and Indian School would be your best place. Just call and make an appointment and ask them if they would. Don't tell them it's a motor mount problem. You say, I have a vibration that is there in drive and reverse and not there in neutral. Is that a fair representation of your problem?
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
That's all we need to know. Us old gray-haired guys have been around the block a few times, so I'm sending you to a good guy. Good luck to you, Linda. Thank you very much for calling. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Folks in our industry, it's no different than doctors and lawyers and dentists and painters and real estate agents and all that. There's people that are well-versed and they typically are in the center of the market, and then you've got the newbies that came in that just got out of school or just passed the test or whatever, and then you got the really, really old guys that typically have a good handle. Now, it is true that in the car industry, we went from a very simple ignition system and fuel delivery system to a very sophisticated fuel system and ignition spark and fuel delivery system. But to be honest with you, we're delivering the fuel and the spark the same way we used to. We're just using different components to do it. So we have a crankshaft sensor instead of a pickup coil in the distributor. We have the coil on top of the spark plug instead of one coil handling 8 spark plugs. So the progression is a normal progression. It's something that's easily identifiable. It's easy for us to pick up on it. The problem that we have today is that everybody believes that the code in the computer is the problem. And based on our analysis, half the time that's not true. And half the time it is related to that, but it's not related to the replacement of the component. It's to put the vacuum line back on the MAP sensor, or to clean the connection of the throttle sensor, or to clean up the EGR valve or the idle air control motor. So there's a lot to it. And diagnosis today is a lot easier because we're all a lot smarter. And us gray-haired guys are a lot smarter than... But we also hire the young bucks because they have the fundamental knowledge. And so when we hire for our shops, we are interested in those guys. We're going to start off with an oil change, and they're going to be doing oil changes and tire rotation. And when you're not busy, I want you to go over here next to Eddie and follow Eddie around. And you're going to get paid an hourly wage, but we're going to kind of train you as we go along. And then Eddie's going to give you a report card after 3 or 4 months and see if we move you into the very beginnings of your own little bay and your own little business within our business. And we can start dispatching work to you. So that's kind of how it works. 602-508-0960. The most important thing to do when you take your car in for repair is to write down what it's doing. Write down what it's doing and describe exactly how to make it happen. Just like Linda and I talked about, how do you make it happen? Does it happen in park and neutral? No, it doesn't. Does it happen in reverse? Yes, it does. Does it happen in drive? No, it doesn't. That's what you need to say. And say, I can duplicate it in the parking lot if you want to send a technician out to take a look at it. And I'll do it, and then he can sit there and do it too. But with that kind of a discussion where you give us really good information, we're going to turn you down and say, we got it. And then we're going to say, how did you know to say that to us? And you say, my dad used to be a mechanic or something like that. It's fine with me. 602-508-0960. 20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Folks, when I refer you to a shop, it's because I know the owner. I have his cell phone number, and I know he's been in business for many, many years. And in every corner of the valley, I have shops that are my go-to shops. They're guys that are really good at diagnosis. And you can find this list on marksalem.com, my website. But when it comes to specific issues, there's guys that are just really, really good at certain things. And it may not be the closest to you geographically, but it's still, in my opinion, the very best guy. And folks, it is true that my shop is capable of doing most, if not all, like other shops, can do this kind of diagnosis. But this show isn't about my shop. It's about you and your problems. So if you have a car question, now's the time to call 602-508-0960. There's 4 lines open. You got a 1 in 4 chance and not very long wait. But Mike, you're up next. How can I help you?
Thanks for taking the call. I have a 2016 Chevy Silverado work truck. We use them for delivery and maintenance. But we were in the desert out in Yuma, and the battery went dead. So I was able to get it jumped, and it was late, so I brought it into Yuma, and I had to go to a, like an O'Reilly's, I think, but one of those, and I got a battery. He installed the battery. I drove all the way back to Phoenix, and I saw that my headlights weren't working well. Got into Phoenix, and my right headlight was very dim, and I thought it might be a ground to that headlight, but I took it to the shop next to my business. And he called me and says, you got a bad headlight. I said, okay, but I don't really think it's a bad headlight. He said, yeah, it is. You can see it's... I said, okay. So I bought the headlight. He installed the headlight, brought it home. Didn't really look at it until about a week later. We were out at a job at night, and the right headlight is still really dim. And it's not the headlight. I think it's a ground. But you tell me, what do you think?
Oh, this is a 10-second answer. With a digital voltometer, you test the power at the headlight to ground and check the voltage, and then you go to the battery power and you go to the ground on the headlight switch and you check the voltage, and one of them is going to be deficient, and go fix it. It's no big deal.
And that's exactly what I thought. That's exactly what I thought.
Okay. That's so, all you do. You're, it's called a volt drop test. So
okay, but I don't do that. So what I'm saying is my shop didn't do that. Obviously, they put a headlight in it. Who's going to do that if he won't do that? Just any shop?
Well, wait a minute. You can't judge all of us because of one.
No, I'm not judging all of you. Yeah. I'm saying I'm not judging all. I'm saying he didn't do that. So it, just any general repair shop? Or do I need to take it to someone like Elliott Electric? It used to be someone like that.
Where do you live?
Northwest side.
Okay. You can go to Auto Dynamics. That's Sun City. 99th Avenue and Grand. You can go to Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. You can go to Kurt's.
I know them well. I'll go there.
Yeah. If you go to Action Auto Repair and you go to Tom, just tell him Mark Salem says you don't have a prayer in hell of being able to fix this simple thing, and call him and he'll walk you through the system, okay? But
I'll take it to him and let him fix it.
I am quite sure that Tom can handle this. All right, well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. And folks, since 1988 I've been on the radio in the Valley in two stations. I came to KKNT in 2011. So what's that, 12 years ago? So there's always a risk of sending somebody to a shop and the customer having a bad experience, or the shop catching the car on fire or something like that. But you know what? I am so proud of the group of shops that I can refer you to, because they're all really good and they all really know what's going on. Not too long ago, Dave Martin saved my bacon. We had a car that we couldn't fix. We just didn't know what was going on. It's a problem we had never seen before. Dave figured out that when the guy put this performance enhancement device on his car, that there was this tube, and he admitted that he saw the tube. He admitted he didn't know where it went, and he threw it away. So Dave called the manufacturer of this performance device, and he goes, "Oh, you got a barrel code?" And Dave goes, "Yep." And he goes, "Oh, well, I'll send you a new tube. You shouldn't have thrown that away. Put a new tube on it. It was done." Now, that car had been to a whole lot of shops, including my own, and we didn't figure it out, but Dave did. Dave and Martin's Auto. So he's a good guy, and this, it isn't about all these shops. It's about you and your problems, and the lines are wide open. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. One of the things that we don't like as shop owners is people who come in, and it's always the man. Don't come in and tell us what you read on the internet. My eyes are going to glaze over, and your diagnostic charge just tripled. That's all there is to it. I'm not ashamed to tell you that. I am not interested in you telling me how to fix your car. I think the conversation should be, take me to the car, show me the car, and show me the problem, and then arrange for diagnostics. And understand that in the electrical system, volt drop test we just talked about, it's going to be this. It's going to be $67.50 to find it and $3 to fix it. That's what it's going to be. In the testing procedure, you're going to find out what's wrong. And so they're going to fix it, which is a bad connection. That's all it is. So those are the kinds of things that we have to deal with. But what we don't want to deal with, and you wives know this, you know that when you go into the shop and you tell them what your husband said to fix, you know that there are, the service writer's eyes glaze over. They look down. They don't want to look you in the eye. They just know this is a crash waiting to happen. Because if he knew what was wrong with it, then he'd fix it himself. But he doesn't know, but he went to Mr. Google, and Mr. Google told him that this is what's wrong. You need to replace the gas cap if your windshield wipers don't work. That's just a ridiculous assumption, and everything off the internet, 75% of everything off the internet, is ridiculous. And here's why. They don't ask questions like I do. They don't ask questions. Tell me about that vibration. Do you feel it in the seat of your pants or in the steering wheel? Why do I ask that? The seat of your pants is the back of the car, and the steering wheel is the front of the car. It's that simple. But those guys at Google don't answer that. And you don't know if you're talking to a convict in Connecticut that's in a prison that's perpetuating this idea that he's a master tech and that he's going to help everybody with their car problems. And you have to be able to give me voltage readings. If we're doing some kind of voltage test, you need to give me your voltage readings and I can tell you what's the matter. You have a bad ground connection, but I can't tell you where it's at. You're going to have to track it down. So you're going to follow that ground backwards until here I have a bad ground and here I don't. Ooh, look, the two of them are joined right there by that bolt. Is that bolt tight? No, it isn't. I'll take it apart, wire brush it up, put the bolt back in, tighten it up, boom, fixed. So that's how it works. And most all of us in the repair industry, you're going to find dealerships, independent shops, chain stores, quick lube facilities. Everybody's in $150 to $200 an hour labor. But most of us keep track of the labor. Most of us know the technician can't come in and say he had an hour and a half on that when we have security cameras all over the shop and he spent the last 45 minutes up in the men's restroom. So it's not going to fly. Those are the kinds of things that we have to deal with as owners, and by and large, we do a good job at that. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. One of the things I heard earlier today in the show was somebody went to the, I think it was O'Reilly's or AutoZone. That is a good place to go for a battery alternator question. But they can tell you if the battery's okay or not, and they can tell you if the alternator's putting out or not. But they really can't tell you if the alternator's putting out. They can't really condemn the alternator right there. There has to be some more tests. A lot of people will just take them at their word, and they'll put an alternator in there. But when you put the alternator in there and you have the same problem, then you'll remember you heard Mark Salem say that there is more work after that. So you have to identify the specific problem. For instance, if the battery has lost a ground to the fender well and the alternator and the engine get the ground from the same place, we're going to have a problem. So you can put alternators in that car until we're all dead, and you ain't never going to fix it till you fix the ground that the motor's supposed to be grounded to the frame. The battery's grounded to the frame. The frame's grounded to the fenders. The fenders are grounded to the engine. The fenders are also grounded to the transmission. We have grounds everywhere. So we have to have everything that has a voltage that we switch on and off, attached, unattached, lit up, unlit, that kind of stuff, we have to have power and ground. But, you know, it really takes about a half an hour to check them all, so it's not that big of a deal. 602-508-0960. All lines are open. 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. About 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, we have three lines taken, and we have two that's available, 602-508-0960. I'm going to go straight to the calls. Dean was first. Dean, you're up first. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. Love the show. I'm a retired mechanic, 34 years. I have a 06 Dodge Ram, 3500, one-ton, mega cab, the whole nine yards. The blend door has two little plastic nubs on to create the hinge. One of those nubs broke off. Got a recommendation down there in Phoenix area who might be able to pull that whole dash apart and change that blend door, or if I can even get a blend door.
Do you have a hot glue gun?
Do I have a what?
A hot glue gun.
I thought about 3D printing because I don't think you can get that door.
Well, if the door's broken, can you get access to it?
Yeah, I took the two pieces out through the blower motor access. Okay. So when you take the blower motor out, you can reach where it goes.
Okay. I would fix it. I mean, you know, we use hot glue guns on plastic dashboard parts all the time. Eddie the other day had a bigger portion of a heater core housing. And he just took a piece of galvanized steel and just cut it. And then he just put two little number 10 screws with nuts on the back of them and just covered it all up and pulled it all together and put it back on.
Yeah, yeah.
He said they can pay for the door, which is a special order part, and have the truck out of service for a couple of days, or they can pay me an hour to MacGyver this thing back together. I said, he'll do that. But the answer...
Okay,
Who could do that? What part of town are you in?
I actually live in Bullhead City, but I'd be willing to take it down. I know there's that diesel repair shop that's advertised on this station a lot.
Are you talking about Strictly Diesel up on I-17 and Pinnacle
Strictly
Peak?
Strictly Diesel.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know if he would pull, you know, that, the whole dash has to come out of that truck to put a door in there.
It pays north of 5 hours. So it's and that you and I both
that's
know
it?
That that's
wow.
not a piece of cake.
Woo-hoo.
So, but
no, that's not. That don't even pay enough.
Yeah. So, you could do that now. You know, Blackwell's at 40th and Greenway, but he's on the northeast corner of the valley.
Oh, Blackwell.
On the northwest quarter of the valley is Action Auto Repair. He's up there north on I-17 and Deer Valley, and then Kurtz is on I-17 and Bell. All of those guys could take care of this, but if you're, suspect if you're been a technician for a while, you still have some MacGyverness in you, and if you can,
too old to lay under that dash.
Okay, you know? Okay, fair enough. And you know what you could do too, if you had the door off once though, yes.
Well, you pull the blower motor with the squirrel cage out, and the door is 5x6 with these little round macadamia nut size nipples that stick out, and the one nipple broke off, so I was able to pull the door out, get the other piece out, and I have the two pieces. It's made of a phenolic. You can see the fibers in it.
Yeah
I would have to glue it in place, or
Yeah, I don't know if you could take the glove box out and have any better access to it, but I've seen MacGyvers take a 1-inch Phillips head self tap and wood screw and just go through the outer cover, through the side cover, and not through the heater core.
Oh, I get what you're saying. See what you're saying.
This is
there.
The MacGyver in me. I have your truck.
I never thought of it that way, because I'm fully an OE guy. Everything's got to be stock and normal. So to put a screw through the outside of a heater box is just like, it throws my thinking all off.
Well, and then you'll notice I threw in there, don't run it through the heater core or the evaporator. And I know that they're both in that box. So anyway.
I know. And that's why I'd rather pay somebody else. If they put a screw in my heater core, they can fix it.
You're right.
Keep insurance.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you very much. Ed, you're up next. How can I help you, Ed?
Morning, Mark.
Good morning.
I've got a new used truck. It's an 01 Ranger. And the temp gauge doesn't work, and I just wondering if you could give me some points. Troubleshoot that, if it's the sender or the gauge.
Easy. Easy peasy. You're going to turn the key on, engine's off. And you're going to look at the gauge, and then you're going to find the sender that's going to be close to the front of the intake manifold, close to the thermostat housing, more than likely. You're going to take the wire off, and you're going to ground the wire while somebody watches the gauge. If the gauge swings to the opposite side, if the gauge is on the hot side, and it'll swing to the cold side. If it's on the cold side, it'll swing to the hot side. That tells you the gauge is working, the sender's bad.
All right. Well, I got a couple of guys right here. We're going to give her a shot. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Good luck to you. Thank you. Larry, you're up next. How can I help you?
Oh, thanks for taking my call, Mark. You've helped me like 4 different times. Always give me good advice.
Well, thank you.
I got a 2000. Oh, yeah, it's been great. I've got a 2005 Sequoia 4x4 with the 4.7 engine. In fact, you helped me get you educated me on how to get my spark plugs after 200,000 miles of not changing them out one time.
Okay.
But anyway, it worked, and I didn't have any damage. I've got three codes. One's a crank sensor, one's a pressure solenoid in the transmission sensor, and one's an evap leak. However, the lights go on and off on their own randomly. I don't have any changes in how the car drives, starts, uses gas, shifts. There's really no symptoms. So I was going to ask you, how urgent is it for me to kind of hunt this down?
Well, you can just wait until you have to go through emissions, and of course you won't go through emissions with history and codes. But but you could go to your next emission stop and no big deal. Assuming that you're still smelling the exhaust every once in a while, and it doesn't turn to rotten eggs, and the fuel economy falls, and then all of a sudden when you crank over the engine, it's got a different noise to it. Those are all symptoms of something that you need to address. But if you wanted to ignore the codes, and you wanted to know, when am I going to have to do something, the answer is your next emissions test.
Got it. Makes sense. Okay.
All right.
Good show. I live out here in Texas now. I used to listen to you all the time in Arizona.
Now, what part in Texas?
Lavernia, south of San Antonio.
Okay. My wife spends a lot of time there in the hill country.
Yeah, the hill country is beautiful.
Yeah. And Kerrville, and we have friends in Kerrville. and he owns a motorcycle shop there. If you ever need a motorcycle, just go in and say, hey, put my $12,000 motorcycle on Mark Salem's bill, and he'll throw you out like he did my wife. Anyway, well, good luck to you.
Yeah, my wife and I drive up there. Thank you.
All righty, you betcha. So, all right, lines are wide open, 602-508-0960. You have 1 in 5 chance if you want to call, 602-508-0960, and we'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, 602-508-0960. We have 4 lines open, 602-508-0960. I need to clean something up on one of my last callers, Larry. No, it was Ed who had the 01 Ranger. He had a temperature gauge or a sender question. Your truck's 22 years old, and I'm quite sure it has a single-wire temp sensor somewhere on the intake manifold of that vehicle. When you have the key on and somebody's watching the gauge and you take the wire off and you ground the wire, it should make the gauge move. Then you're on the right sender. I was struggling because many of the newer model cars get the engine temperature from the coolant sensor, and the coolant sensor is going to have multiple wires to it. So I just wanted to make that distinction. I'm quite sure you have a temperature sender. And if not, then just get on like a rockauto.com, put in your VIN number, and identify what it looks like, and then you can do the test. Let's go to Steve. Steve, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. Hey, I have a 2016 Ford F-150 extended cab. And ever since I bought the truck brand new, the front two windows, the automatic windows, would get all the way to the top, and then just for, especially when the road's bumpy, if it's really, really smooth, I don't have that problem. I took it into the dealer, and they said they couldn't replicate the issue, and they wouldn't fix it. But this has been happening this is 2023, we're going on 7 years now. And it's, so my thought, I'll just tell you my thought, is because there's no post, you're going to get a little more vibration in the door, possibly, but it doesn't seem like this should.
Okay, I want you to drive the symptom again. Just quickly tell me the symptom again. What does it do or not do?
So if the windows are all the way rolled down and I hit the automatic or the switch to roll them up automatically where you don't have to touch the switch, they get right to the top, like an inch from the top, and they reverse.
Okay. Okay, well, there's something probably binding the scissor on the very bottom of the window, because it is true that with many electric motors, that if there's an obstruction like a young person's head is in the window's going to feel the resistance and then back off. So, I understand the Ford dealer's issue, or any shop's issue. I can't make it happen. It's not doing it now. Now, let me ask you a question. On your button, are you holding the button in the up position, but it doesn't completely park?
No, I just click it to where it automatically, I click it and release it, so it's automatically going up, so I'm not touching it.
Okay. Well, you need to try it the other way, too. Hold it all the way.
Oh, it doesn't work that way either.
Okay. It doesn't work right that way either.
Correct.
Okay. So either way, we're parking the window just a little bit before it's fully closed.
Right.
And it doesn't...
Well, no, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. It just reverses.
Oh, so, well, it's the same thing in my head. I mean, we're parking it short of its parking spot, or we're reversing it. It's because it feels something. How many miles has this truck got on it?
55,000, but it's done it since day one.
Okay. No. Don't. Let's not go off into tangents. There's a reason I ask you that, and it has nothing to do with what you're going to guess. The reason I ask you that is it just an effort to determine how many times the windows have been up and down. So we can't work off of what you think. We have to work off the facts. If I were you, I would wait until I don't know what to tell you. The repair to me would be take the door panels off, take one of the door panels off, take the window regulator and the motor and take a look at them and lube everything up and see if we can get that window to go all the way up. How do you get to the window to park all the way deep within the molding? How do you make it happen?
Well, the only way I can is I could be at a stop or on a very smooth road. Any vibration, any bumps in the road causes it to reverse.
Yeah, I've never heard of seen that before. So the question is do we have some kind of a bad connection at one of the switches? So maybe if that's now, is it predominant to one or the other, or is it the master switch that you're using at the driver's side, and the master switch is controlling both windows, and you have the problem?
It's the master switch. Okay. I mean, I've never been in the passenger seat to do it, but both windows have done it.
Okay. Well, it would be worth having to continue in your test and have someone, you know, whoever's there with you, have them try the window up and down, or have your wife drive and you operate the passenger windows. We just need more information. You're telling me about a problem I've never heard of before in my life. But I think it's reversing because there's resistance. The question is where is there resistance? Is it in the motor? Is it in the switch? Because if a child head is in the window, it's supposed to reverse, and so yours is reversing early. So, that's the best I can offer you. You got two choices: to go in there and hire somebody to go in and test the windows, or try to identify what's wrong with it, or wait till it gets worse and easier to find. Those are your only two options. Okay.
Yeah, it's annoying, but I live with it. Thank you.
All righty, Steve. Good luck to you. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Do we have anybody, Gil?
Yes, sir. We got John.
John, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. Love your show.
Thank you.
Two quick questions. I'm restoring an old 56 Chevy pickup. What do you write certain... Yeah, I'm going to add AC into it. Do you recommend any other brand versus another one?
What kind of brand? For what component?
Oh, no, it's AC. Aftermarket AC unit.
Oh, no.
For a vintage truck.
No, I don't. As a matter of fact, I just restored a 55 1-ton. But I didn't put air in it because it's a ranch truck.
Oh, did you? Did you put AC in it?
Nope. It's a ranch truck. We wouldn't put AC in that. You know, you get in with your cowboy buddies and you got AC in your ranch truck that's a 1955 1-ton, and they're going to make fun of you. And for the rest of the time, it's not going to be fun. They're going to make fun of you. In your particular case, I would not necessarily follow a brand of the AC. I would find a company who's been in business a very long time, who's done hundreds, if not thousands, of these conversions and has great reviews. That's what I would look for. I wouldn't look for the brand of the, because it has everything to do with the installation. I've had technicians that have applied for jobs, and I've had some that worked for me that could take a vintage skill or take a vintage package and just screw it all up. And so it really has to do with the quality of the person that's going to install it. What part of town are you in?
I'm in Central Phoenix.
Okay.
So there used to be probably real close to either Blackwell or any of those places.
Yeah, I think I would take it to Blackwell. I'd take the truck to Blackwell, and I would ask him a couple questions. If I hired you to put this air conditioning system in, what system would you buy? And number two, here's my name and phone number. Take a couple pictures of my truck, and would you call me with an estimate for not only the kit and the install, because you want one guy to buy the kit and install it so that you don't get the ping pong ball effect where he goes, well, you need to deal with the manufacturer. No, you installed it. I bought that from you. I didn't buy it from the manufacturer. I bought it from you, Mr. Blackwell.
Yeah.
And so Tom would be a good guy. He's certainly
because
capable.
Yeah, because right now I'm putting in the new electrical with fuses and stuff in it. And then... another question too. I'm putting a one piece window, so I'm eliminating the little wing window in that.
Uh huh.
I'm going to put electric because I know some of these aftermarket. Made a year or something. Do you have any random? Have you used one particular that's easier than the next?
You're breaking up real bad on my end anyway. Gil, is it coming through the board that way?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you break... Again, I don't want... I'm going to politely and nicely refuse to be your repair shop when you tell me what parts to buy, and tell me how to fix your car. I'm not going to do that. I want to buy the parts that I think I would put in that car if it was mine, and I would put them in, and I'll give you an estimate for that. So I don't think that you're really doing yourself a favor, because the guy on the radio said to use the Delco brand, but somebody else said Motorcraft is just as good, and then somebody over here with the Dodge says, no, Chrysler's better. The Chrysler kit is better. I don't think that's good for you. I think if you're going to deal with a shop, then deal with a shop. If you're going to deal with a do-it-yourself kit, then go by Google, look at all their reviews, and look at all their stars and stripes and all that other kind of stuff, and pick something from there, which is what I did on the carburetor on my 55 Chevy. I needed a little one-barrel carburetor for the 55 Chevy. I already knew the OEM part number, so I started Googling it, and I found a whole bunch of people that had it. But what I really found was a guy that was duplicating them perfectly, and his reviews were out of this world. So I got the thing, I put it on, and the 55 Chevy drove like it never did before. And then I figured out I also had a plug fuel filter, but it was underneath the truck, and somebody had aftermarketed it. And this is okay. I just replaced it. So we're home free. But, John, I got to run. Thank you very much. We're going to come back for another hour. If you'd like to join us, you can. All five lines are open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And who's the next caller?
Say hello to Marty.
Marty, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I got two questions. One, my wife's 2006 GMC Sierra with a 4.8. We can drive around town for 6 months, no problem. You get out on the highway for 20 minutes, we'll get a bank one lien code.
Okay.
And then we also have a gross leak. Is that related vacuum issue? Or?
Well, you just have to track it down. I mean, it's going to be in the fuel delivery and the vapor system. The question is what's not working? On your vapor system, we're supposed to suck the fumes off the fuel tank and burn them. And so the computer keeps track of opening and closing the purge valve and opening and closing all the necessary gates to get the fumes to be sucked into the engine. And then the shop's going to have a tough time, because if you've got two codes, do you start with the first one or the second one, or do you do a numerical order, or do you go into some of the history that we have available, and they say when you have a code 21 and a 27, you should start on the 27 first, because sometimes the 27 will fix the 21. Those are the problems that you're going to have. And when you start talking about purge stuff, let me ask you this. Who fills up the truck?
Yeah, my wife normally does.
Okay,
it hasn't been driven that much lately, so we haven't really filled it up.
Okay, all I'm interested in just an answer to the question, and here's why. Does she click, click, click and stuff the tank, or does she just pull the nozzle after the first or second click?
Yeah, we know not to overfill.
Okay, well, that's a good question and a good answer, but that fixes a whole lot of purge problems, because we stuff the tanks.
Yeah.
And I've been known to do that myself, so, but that's all. What part of town do you live in?
I'm up in Wickenburg.
Okay.
But I was wondering, I wonder if any family have, like, smoke machines as loaners?
Well, again, that if you come in and you say, I have an evaporative code, do you have a smoke machine? We don't want you. Because you're trying to tell us how to fix it. We don't need anybody to tell us how to fix it. Before we pull the smoke machine out, there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done. So if you want us just to jump to the smoke machine and start filling everything up with smoke, it's just not the right way. So all I want you to do is think about it from our point of view. Our point of view is just give us the symptoms, and we're going to give you an estimate to find it. And then once we find it, we're going to give you an estimate for the repair. That's how it works. So, everybody has smoke machines, but I bet we use ours once a month and we process 20 or 30 cars a day. So, you know, we're not using that smoke machine a lot of times. They don't get a lot of use, but nevertheless, the lines are wide open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and you're welcome to give us a call. And then all we want to do is talk about your symptoms or the code, or we talk about what it does, and we ask questions and you answer questions. That's what it's give and take. And then I think I'll be able to get close with your answers and guide you to maybe somebody that can help you.
4 minutes after the hour of 11.
11 o'clock, 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. I got that squeaking out of my voice. We're going to be here for another hour talking about cars, and if you'd like to join us, the lines are wide open, so you have a 1 in 5 chance, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and you just give us a call, and we'll get you on just as quickly as we can. Gil is the one that answers the phone. You're not going to want to make him mad because he's the one that puts everybody in queue. Then you come to me and he'll say, pick up line two, or he'll say, talk to John or whatever, but the lines are wide open right now. So now's a good time. If you call in, what we need is year, make and model and mileage of your truck. And then we'll talk about symptoms. I'm not interested in talking about what Google says on the internet or what your next door neighbor said or anything like that. Let's focus on the symptoms. And I'm going to ask you questions. Does this always happen? Does that always happen? Stuff like that. 602-508-0960. Let me tell you where the other day I didn't follow my own advice, and I'm going to admit it. I didn't follow my own advice. The 55 Chevy pickup truck that I've recently restored had a problem, and it's up here at our property in Payson. And Renee and I used to drive it into town to go to dinner. And it's a beautiful, beautiful one-ton Chevy pickup truck. And it's got the granny four-speed transmission in it. It's got the six-cylinder in it. But it wouldn't go even freeway speeds between where we live and going into Payson, where most everybody's doing. The speed limit might be 55, 65, and everybody's doing 70 or 80. We could hardly do 50. And so I had done some carburetor work to it. And so I thought, you know, when I took it apart, it was pretty corroded, and I thought, I'm just going to get a good rebuilt one, and I put it on there. And it didn't fix anything, but it did give me a better quality idle. So I was happy about that. So I just had this fuel starvation problem that prevented me from going much past 50 miles an hour. And if I pulled the choke, I can shut off the air, which would make the motor run richer with more fuel, and that would give me 1 or 2 miles an hour. So I knew that I had a fuel starvation problem. So I checked the fuel pump, and the fuel pump had 5 or 6 inches of vacuum, and it had about 3 or 4 pounds of pressure, which is in the specification for the vehicle. But I thought, it's old, so I took it apart, and I found some trash in the trampoline or the diaphragm of the old fuel pump. I thought, I'll just put another one on it. So I did. So on and on I go, and I'm struggling with this for a good 8 months. So then finally I take a can of propane, and I put about 8 feet of hose on this small tank of propane, and I run the hose into the air cleaner of the truck. And so I get on the freeway, and I'm driving towards Payson, and I get to 51 miles an hour, and that's all. And I start opening up the valve on the propane tank, and I go 53, 55, 56, 58. And so I'm supplementing the fuel delivery system, and this thing's going faster and faster, which is where I wanted it to go. So I'm really kind of confounded, and I check the gas cap. It's the appropriate gas cap. It's a vented gas cap. We're not sucking on a pop bottle. Otherwise, the tank is completely air-blocked, and we're not trying to suck fuel out of it, which is impossible. So I just don't know what I'm going to do. So I think I'll fill it up, and maybe I've got an air leak somewhere in the system. So I fill it up. And about 3 days later, I said to Renee, let's go in town. If you want to go to that new Chipotle, we'll go there and get something to eat. And she says, well, are you going to take the 55? And I said, yeah, let's take it. And so as she walks over, she goes, oh, I smell gas. And she looks underneath it, and she says, I smell gas. Didn't you just fill this up? And I said, yeah, I just did. So I look, and the gauge, and it's at eighth of a tank. So I have a bad gas leak back there in the back. So I crawl underneath there. I move the truck first, so I'm not laying in gas. I crawl underneath there. And there's this rubber hose that comes through the floor and then kind of makes an elbow and heads forward. And I think, I don't know. So I said, you know what? I'm going to put a couple gallons of gas in it and see what happens. So I start to put gas in it. And as soon as I start to put gas in it, Renee's down on one knee and she goes, oh, it's leaking. So I find this hose, and I luckily find the part number for it. And so I order one. And then I put a plug in one end, and I put a nipple in the other of the hose, and I added about 2 pounds of air. And right at one of the fittings, it's got a bad leak. So what was going on was the reason I couldn't get to 55 and 60 miles an hour is because there was a point where I was sucking air and fuel. So the air was from the ambient temperature, out from the ambient air outside the truck. And so instead of sucking 100% fuel through the system, I was sucking probably 60% fuel and 40% air. So I put a new hose on it, put a new filter on it, took it out and drove it. The thing will do almost 65, 70 miles an hour now. And it pulls really hard and it really, really is good. But it was a fuel starvation problem from the beginning. I just never knew that that little rubber hose in the back of the tank was part of the, because normally we hard plumb from the tank forward. And so I never thought that there would be a rubber hose, but there was, and I learned a lot. And it was a $14 hose or something like that. So that's what happened. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a car problem, 602-508-0960. And Gil, we got open lines right now, right? I can say five.
Actually, we have Ramon, remember?
Oh, and Ramon, I'm sorry. It's my fault that I'm taking you now, but I apologize for that, but I'm all ears. Tell me what you need.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. A few months back, I bought at an auction a 1949 Willys Jeepster. I'm in the Scottsdale area. There are a few things that need to be addressed on this that weren't in the auction, of course.
Okay.
And nobody who I've talked with in the Scottsdale area wants to work on this. I just want to find somebody who can take it in, go throughout the whole thing and say, okay, it needs the ignition switch, it needs a fuel gauge, it needs a passenger door lock replaced, et cetera, et cetera. So do you know anybody in the Scottsdale area who's willing to work on a 49 Jeepster?
Yes, but I want to change the way you're approaching this, or I want to offer a suggestion to change the way that you're approaching this. I want you to drive the vehicle, and I want you to give the shop four or five specific things to deal with.
Right now I can't drive it. I'd have to have it towed.
Okay. Well, then maybe you tow it. Blackwell, I'm going to send you to Blackwell. Okay. You tow it to Blackwell. You've got to call him first because he's booked like sure. All the rest of us. We're booked 6, 7, 8, 9 work days behind. So you call Blackwell.
Fine.
And you're going to say to him, because see, when it sounds like, listen to me carefully, when it sounds like that you say to us, here's the keys, tell me what's wrong with it and call me with an estimate. We don't like that. We don't want to be that responsible. What's going to happen is 2.5 weeks later, something's going to happen and you're going to go, wait a minute, you checked it out. And we're going to say, that was 2.5 weeks ago. The alternator was fine then, it's not now. So we have that issue. So may I suggest politely that you say to him, I would like you to get it to start, run, and drive. Call me with an estimate to make it crank, run, and drive. And then at that point, I'd like it back. I want to put it on the road. I want to drive it. And then I'll give you another list. Address the turn signal on the left side. The wipers don't work. Blah, 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 blah. And we chop that tree down one limb at a time. That's what's in your best interest. But you'll lose a lot of our attention if you come in and expect us to go through that from bumper to bumper and fix everything that's wrong with it. And here's the and that we hate the most. We know in the future that 3 months and 11 days later, the windshield wiper motor is going to take a crap. And we don't. We don't know that. We have no way of knowing that. So I think if we just get it to start, run, and stop, I think you'll like that.
Okay. You said Blackwell. Who is Blackwell?
Tom Blackwell, Blackwell Automotive, 40th Street and Greenway.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Good luck to you. Thank you very much. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Folks, it's no secret that the front counter exchange really makes a difference with respect to the shop's expectations and the customer's expectations. And as a group, we don't do a real good job on the front counter. We should ask more questions. But the problem is that oftentimes the service writer doesn't have a mechanical background, so they're just going to write down what they're told. And when they write down what they're told, then the technician gets it and says, well, he says he's running out of gas, but what's the symptoms? What specifically does that mean? How does he know he's running out of gas? This could be that he's running out of spark. So he's driving down the road 1 hour and 1 hour and 2 minutes. Then all of a sudden the motor falls on its face and he's convinced that he ran out of gas. But really the ignition system failed. The coil failed. The ignition module failed. The distributor pickup failed. Because you need compression, spark, and fuel to make the motor run. So when you have a problem, it's going to be a compression, spark, or fuel problem. That's all there is to it. And they all have to be synchronized, and we have to have everything in perfect order. So those are the kinds of things that I offer to you in an effort to make your experience with my industry, our industry, a much better one. And if you have a vehicle like his 49 Willys that he just bought, let's just chop the tree down one branch at a time. Let's get it to start, run, and drive, and stop. I should answer that. Start, run, drive, and stop. And once we get it that way, then we can start working on the vibration, or the choke isn't working, or when it's warm in the morning, it starts right up, and when it's cold in the morning, it doesn't start at all, and I have to crank it till the battery's dead. Those are the kinds of things that we can deal with. All we have to do is experience it, and you leave it overnight, and we'll start it the next morning, and we'll see what happens. So hopefully that kind of communication level will exist. The real problem is that, in Mark Salem's opinion, is that we oftentimes take our cars to shops that represent themselves as being wide-range shops. There's cars that I don't even want to work on. There's cars that I won't even take in.
1 minute.
There's some people that I won't even take in. But the idea is that we just need to have this conversation, and we have to have a customer in front of us that can just answer our questions. But unfortunately, there's some shops that you'll come in and you'll say, the window doesn't go all the way up. And he says to the technician, the window doesn't go all the way up. And the technician says, well, the window went up for me. And then he says, well, it's probably some, what could it be if it's erratic? And then he says, well, it's probably the motor. And he goes, okay. So he calls the customer and says, you need a new motor. And so the customer says, that's going to fix my problem? He goes, yeah. So he puts a new motor in it. Then the car comes back and says, nope, the motor didn't fix it. And I want all my money back on the motor and the labor, and I want you to start all over. And I want you to diagnose it for free because I already paid for diagnosis before. You see how that gets ugly? So, and it happens every day. So the communication level, if you go inside and you have a story that your husband, you ladies have a story that your husband told you to give them, and he even wrote it down and you read it to him and you hand him the piece of paper, and if they just look at it and go, oh, he's complaining it doesn't start when it's cold, okay, thanks. That's not what you really wanted. You wanted somebody to look at it or someone to call you and say, I understand completely what your husband said. Can I talk to your husband? Can you have him call me? That's what we usually do. And we want to talk to the person with the complaint, and we want to know what he saw with his eyes and what he felt and what he smelled and all that other kind of stuff. If you do it that way, your bill will always be less because we won't have the full responsibility of reincarnating the entire situation from start to finish, and that's beneficial to you. The lines are open, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a car problem, or if you and your husband argue about whether I should use premium or regular gas, that's a question I can answer. So if you call and ask that question, I got your answer. We'll be back. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour. No, it isn't. 21 minutes after the hour at 11 o'clock. We have 40 minutes left of the show, and if you have a car question or a car problem, you can call in. We have four lines available. Derek's got one, and I'm going to go to him in just a second. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. And Gil will answer the phone, and he'll say, what's your name? And you say, whatever you want to say, and he'll say, okay, well, you're next in line, or you're second in line, or something like that. So let's go to Derek. Derek, thank you for holding during the break. How can I help you?
Thanks. Yes, I have a 2014 Camry V6. It runs great, but it makes a rattling sound in the engine that I've been hearing for at least a year, and it comes and goes.
Okay. What we need you to do is, I mean, the coming and going, the intermittent problem is the one that scares all of us to death, because it's just, we have to find it, and then we have to assume that it's the noise you're talking about, and then when we fix it and we find out it's not the noise you were talking about, it's a noise we heard, but we, you know what I'm saying? Let me ask you this. Can you make it happen, or can you make it stop?
No, I have it on tape, though. I mean, I have it on video.
Okay. What does it sound like? Is it a squeak, a rattle, a chirp? What is it?
No, it's not a squeak or a chirp. It sounds like a My guess is that it could be a tension and pulley going bad.
Okay. Now, does it do it at idle when you're at a traffic light?
It does this. I could be at a light or I could be parked somewhere and park and it still does it.
Okay. All right. One of the easiest things to do when you have that is if you can pull into your driveway, or if you start it up in the morning and you got the noise and you back it out and you got the noise, then just get out of the car, open the hood, get your garden hose, and start dribbling some water on the belt and tell us if that made the noise go away. I mean, that'll at least put us in that area. We can take the fan belt off and we can manipulate all the pulleys on that entire belt with our hands. But we need something like that. Now, another thing is when the noise is there, if you put it in park, does it change between park and drive?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, that's something to look for.
Like it comes, it starts, then it fades.
Okay.
Well, then it comes back.
You have to help us, because if it doesn't make the noise for us, we're not going to find it. So you tell us how to make it happen. You turn the air on, turn the air off, and see if that causes the problem or makes it go away. You turn the steering wheel right and left as you're sitting still. Does that change the problem? You have to give us some kind of clue, because you can't make it happen in front of us. So, and there's so many different things. When you drive down the road and you go to apply the brakes at a red light, does the noise come and go? Yes or no? When you make a right turn, is the noise there sometimes? Yes or no? When you make a left turn, yes or no? Because there's so many things that can make a noise. It's not like we're going to be able to fix it based on an audio recording, or unless you give us some specific, this is how I can make it stop, or this is how I can make it happen. If you walk in, I promise you, you'll save $100 if you can answer use either one of those statements. This is how I make it stop, or this is how I make it happen. It'll save you an hour plus in labor time, guaranteed. So if we can do what you told us and we can make it happen, we can find it, we can bid it, we can fix it, and if you okay the estimate, we'll fix the noise. But noises are very difficult. It's no different than when you go to the doctor and you say, you know, I have a pain right over here by this rib, and it's only every other Thursday at 4 o'clock. You know, what's the doctor going to say? Well, let's cut you open. No, he's not. But we just need some help. So do your best to make it, when it gets there, try to make it go away or try to make it happen. And what is it you do that makes it happen? That's what we need. But I can't fix the noise on the radio.
Okay.
All righty. Good luck to you, Derek. Good luck. We're only talking about 1% of the cars that we service on an annual basis that might come in with something like that. And people will be very frustrated, and oftentimes the shop will offer, you know, I've got a technician that's got really good ears. He likes this kind of stuff, but he lives in West Phoenix and we're in Tempe. Can I ask him to drive it home tonight and then bring it back in the morning with your permission and your insurance? If you have full coverage insurance, with your permission, then he's under your policy. So we have that understanding, but I'll have Eddie drive it home and drive it back, and we'll see. And I'm also going to give you some FaceTime with Eddie, but you can only have 3 or 4 minutes. You can't keep him for a half an hour on a conversation about your noise. He's going to ask you questions, and you're going to answer them and do the best you can. But it's just a matter of billable time. We just can't babysit your car without charging you. If it takes us 3 days to figure it out, and we work on it 2 hours a day, there's going to be a charge for that. And the only other possibility is wait till it gets worse and easier to find. That's the only other possibility. And that's applicable in many cases. Wait till it gets worse and easier to find. So 602-508-0960. The line. Do we have anybody in queue, Gil?
We do have Josh.
Josh, good morning. How can I help you?
Great show, Mark. Thank you for having me. Mm-hmm. I have an older S10 Blazer. If I put A-arms, longer A-arms, because I want to put bigger tires on there because I don't want to use spacers, will it throw up geometry for the front end?
Well, I don't know. I don't like the idea of you changing the geometry in the front end for fear that I'm not going to be able to get it anywhere near its alignment specifications when you're done. I think spacers or offset wheels is going to be your answer. Spacers or offset wheels. Some wheels have a 4-inch dish in the back, and some of them have a 2-inch dish in the back. So we can move the wheel out, or we can move the tire out on the wheel, or move the tire in on the wheel. So you have to buy tires and rims, but we can do the rear offset for you. But when you stick the lower ball joint out further, then all of a sudden, how am I going to set camber? Because you just added an inch or two or a half an inch. I don't have that much to give you when I want to stand your tire straight up and down when I align it. So the answer to your question is a lower control arm all by itself is going to cause an alignment problem you'll never recover from. So,
okay, so you would recommend...
Here's what I think you should do. Hey, hang on. I think you're going to have to wait till the end till I come back because I got to be gone in 3 seconds. So just stay right there, and I'll be back with you in a minute. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and the lines are wide open. If you have a car question or a car problem, or if there's a decision in your future and you're not quite sure whether to buy a half-ton truck or a three-quarter-ton truck or a dually with dual wheels on the back, which is typically one-tons and stuff like that, then that's kind of discussions that we can have here. I'll ask you questions, and you give us answers, and we'll decide. You know, you can decide based on our conversation on what's best for you or what's good for you or however you want that to happen. 602-508-0960 is the phone number, 602-508-0960. A couple of shops I haven't told you about today. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing is one of them. Thompson's has been around for a very long time. When you meet Brian and Thelma, husband and wife that own a Thompson's Auto Repair, you'll understand why. It's the only shop in Mesa I can tell you to go to. There has been some that have applied to be a part of our list, and many times they're not accepted because they just don't have enough time. We don't take shops on our list of the best car repair shops that haven't been in business a very long time under the same management. Because all of us remember that when we came into this industry, the first 3 or 4 or 5 years we were in this industry, we made lots of bad mistakes. We made lots of bad mistakes on how we behaved, on how we charged, how we fixed cars and stuff like that. So we want shops that are well seasoned. And of course, Thompson's is well seasoned. They've been in that facility since 1970. He's been in Mesa since 1970. So if you're in Mesa, unfortunately, the only shop I can refer you to is Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing, and they're on Stapley, on Main Street, just east of Stapley, and it's a good shop. Another shop I want, and it's a transmission shop, is Automatic Transmission Exchange. Everybody that has a car that exceeds 80,000 miles is going to have to deal with the transmission sometime in the next 50,000 miles. So from 80 to about 130, 140, maybe even 150, you'll have to have a transmission. They just don't go around the world 10 times before they fail. So the idea is you can decide where you're going to go, but Automatic Transmission Exchange can handle just about anything. They've been in the Phoenix area since 1968. And here's the best part about them. We started off with transmissions that were shifted by throttle pressure and speed and vacuum. And today we have electronic transmissions that have 8 and 10 gears. And today the computer is shifting all the transmission, but here's the nifty part. The computer shifts the transmission exactly like vacuum and speed and governors did in the old days. So the computer has taken over that job. So there's not a real big change on rebuilding transmissions because all we're doing is we're making a shift from first to second, and we're using an electronics, which then closes this solenoid and pushes this fork forward that we used to do in different ways before. So automatic transmission exchange, Phil's been around. He knows Barney Rubble, and he worked on Barney's Rubble's car with steel or with stone tires. But he's at 40th Street in Washington, and he's a really good guy. Last but not least on the repair shop is Kurtz Auto. You've heard me talk about him at I-17 and Bell Road. He's a good shop. He's been around a very long time. He has really great technicians. It's a family-owned and operated facility. He's on the northeast corner of Bell and I-17. And he's got a magic wand. I've sent him a couple of different people that had some problems that were very, very difficult to track down. And he was successful in pulling the rabbit out of his hat and finding and fixing their problems. It has to do with when we talk to the customer, we ask questions. And there's three possible answers to the questions. Yes, no, or I don't know. The men don't know how to say, I don't know. The women do. So we are always blessed when the woman is the one that gets to talk to us. Does this happen all the time? No, only when the car is cold. When it happens, does the car vibrate? No, it doesn't. Or yes, it does. When you do that, do you have the air on? I don't know. Okay, then that's what I want you to do. Next time you have this surging condition on as far as the speed of the engine, I want you to turn the air condition. If it's on, turn it off. And if it's off, turn it on and tell me if that makes a difference. Those are the kinds of conversations we have. And Kurt's very good at that. So when you talk about shops, my list of shops is at marksalem.com. And they're all good guys. And I have their cell phone numbers. And I'm proud to tell you that they're really good at what they do. Gil?
1 minute.
Okay. And when we talk about cars, and when you do talk about cars, going in, you have to be careful in this sense, because our industry is our industry has decided, some in our industry have decided, I'm walking a fine line here, some shop owners in our industry have decided that they know what's best for your car and to ignore the owner's manual. And I'm suggesting to you that the owner's manual was written for the deserts of California, the deserts of Arizona, and it's for all the snowing in Montana and Idaho. The person that knows your car the best is the owner's manual and the people that wrote it. So when you have someone tell you that you need a transmission service for $450, and you say why, and you say because it's Arizona, and you say, what does my manual say? And they go, I don't know and I don't care, but it's in Arizona and we do it every 50,000 miles. You need to just smile and walk away. Because that's not, you need to look at your owner's manual and it'll say that you don't change the oil till for 100,000 miles. And the owner's manual's written for Idaho and Montana and Arizona and Florida and Washington State and Maine and Southern California. It's made for the whole, all the markets it's going to be sold in. So the manual itself says that. What we've got today is we've got a whole bunch of people that have redesigned the owner's manual call points and the stopping points, and they're telling people that you need to go back to 30,000-mile services on your power steering and your transmission and your cooling system and your transfer case and your differentials, and nothing could be further from the truth. That 30,000-mile one was back in the 70s. Today, all of those fluids are going to be between 80 and 100. So the manual is your default. Familiarize yourself with it. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, and if you have a comment or a question, give us a call. 44 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We have Kat on the line, but we have four lines open. If you have a car question, it's 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. And Kat, how are you? How can I help you?
I am fine. And I have I hope this is a simple question and answer.
Okay.
I have a key fob that is very persnickety. And I put a brand new battery in it, but it does not want to open. It doesn't want to open. It closes fine, but it doesn't want to open. So very often I just simply leave my door unlocked because I'm getting tired of messing with it.
Okay,
and
now, when
I'm wondering if I have to get a new one or whatever I have to do.
Okay. When you normally push the key fob to unlock the door, does it unlock one door or all the doors?
Well, I usually, because it doesn't unlock immediately, I keep pushing it. And sometimes it just will unlock the driver's door, and after I push it, it will unlock all of the doors.
Okay.
But it just depends on how aggravated I get with the dang thing to keep pushing it.
Okay. And you don't have a spare fob, yes? You don't?
No, I don't have a spare fob. And also, when I've used the key to unlock it, it will unlock it. I mean, it will open it. No, wait a minute. It unlocks it, but it doesn't lock it for my key. If that helps at all, I don't know.
Those are two separate things, I'm pretty sure. Two separate things.
Your key
should lock and unlock the door from the outside.
Correct.
And yes. when you also properly identified the most common one push of the button unlocks the driver's door, and another, you know, button push, two buttons will unlock all the doors. And so,
yes, and it's hard to tell you, because when I push it once, it doesn't do anything. I push it again, it doesn't do anything. So then I get frustrated and just keep pushing the darn thing.
Okay.
And sometimes it just opens the one door, and sometimes it's the all of them.
Okay. Did you put the battery in the fob?
Yes, my grandson-in-law did.
Okay. When he opened it up, was there about 10 years worth of fuzz, like the dryer sheet or the dryer screen in your
I'm sure that if there was, he would have cleaned that out.
Okay.
I mean, he's 32. I'm sure he would have cleaned that out if that was the case.
Okay. I think what I would do is, do you have a repair shop that you do business with?
No, not particularly, but I did call the dealer, and they wanted $279, and then $65 to reprogram it.
Okay.
And I said, does it need to be reprogrammed? So anyway.
Okay. The reason I ask you, why I ask you about it is because those repair shops like mine, we all have locksmiths that we do business with. We all have the ability not to have to go to the dealer. We can have that done. I know that we have locksmiths that will come and fix those key fobs for our customers, and a lot of other shops do too. What part of town do you live in?
I live near 12th Street, 7th Street, and Baseline.
Way south. Don't have any. Do you work
yeah,
or do you
I'm
go
from.
Any other place that's close, that's further into town?
I can probably go any place. Tempe is, I would consider, closer, but I'm retired. I'm an old folk.
Okay. All right.
And I did call a key shop nearby me, and he wanted $211. I don't know if that means fixing it or replacing it.
That's a great question right there. I think that there's a good chance that this can be fixed. I think there's a good chance it can be fixed. But I want to tell you something. The other day, a friend of mine had a problem with his Ford truck, and I think the repair bill was $400 because he needed two new key fobs. And the guy that was there showed us. He said, look at this. The contacts are bad. The rubber is bad. And when I do this and I put a piece of paper here and then I close the key fob, now it works more responsibly, but not all the time because it's just so worn out. And when he did that dog and pony show, and then he says, now look at this new key fob. I've already programmed it for the truck. Now push the button on the new one, push the button on the old one, and you can just feel the difference. And so I think that $200 mark is going to be one that you'll find palatable. If you call around to some other mobile locksmiths, you might find that cheaper. And basically, you're just going to say, intermittently, I put a new battery in it, but intermittently and many times often, I push the unlock button or the lock button and it doesn't come on. It doesn't do what I ask it for. And so I have to rough house the button to get it to work. That really represents what you're talking about, I think.
And that may be that I just need a new one, because the buttons, the lock button is kind of worn off the little insignia there. And the one that, I mean, the unlock one is totally nothing. And it just is, it's totally nothing on
yeah.
there. You know, there's no.
And sometimes what we do is when we separate those, and if we do have buttons underneath the rubber portions of the lock and unlock button, I've seen a couple of guys put a small piece of cardboard in there with a little bit of something to hold it there, and all of a sudden the fob works better because we're worn out. And so by putting this there on top of the button, it makes it better. But that's a MacGyver kind of repair. Do you understand that?
And that makes perfectly good sense. Well, and, you know, it's funny because when I've lost my vehicle and I'm pushing the emergency button, sometimes it'll let me know where it is. But if I have it in my pocket, it goes off when I don't want it to.
Yeah. Another thing you can do is you can take and separate the key fob, leave the battery in there, and walk up to the car and use your fingers to push the button it's called a rubber button on the top of your key fob. It actually pushes a button underneath that, so you can test it. But most locksmiths will be able. This is part of what they do the best. Do you have a pencil handy?
I do. I actually have a paper and pencil.
Okay.
Actually, but yes.
Write down Andy. A-N-D-I,
okay.
And 480-598-1234.
Okay. For real? 1234?
Yep. And
okay.
She's my daughter. She runs our entire operation, and you're going to call her and say it. Talk to your dad on the radio. I have a key fob problem. Here's my year, make, and model of my car. And your dad said that you have locksmiths that do this kind of work for you. And we're on I-10 and Warner Road. So we're just a hop-skip down the Baseline Road. You can come to Baseline and then head south. Andy,
that's not far. I go to the Costco not too far from there frequently.
Okay. So Andy is the lady that can help you. She answers to nobody at our business. So, and she's been around her whole life around cars. So we have a good locksmith. And he does come to our shop, and she'll probably coordinate you and him there at the same time. As far as pricing is concerned, I'm going to tell you, I know that unilaterally everybody bids a common fob for $200 to $300. Everybody has that window because we don't know. We have to determine if it's the fob or is it the door lock activator. The door lock activator is inside the door. And when we command it to unlock the doors, if it's not strong enough because it's worn out, then it's not a key fob problem. It's a door activator, door lock solenoid problem. So that's part of the process. So we don't want to sell you something that you don't need, but there might be some diagnosis to it, and Andy can help you with that.
Good. So I can go in there, and she will be able to tell me one way or the other then.
You're going to call her and make an appointment, and she's going to walk you through the process.
Okay, I will definitely do that because this is really frustrating.
Okay.
And especially during the summertime, I want to be able to lock the car and unlock it.
Andy's the only one that answers to nobody in that building. I'm proud to say that the technicians really respect her because she's been on the front counter, so she gets this part for, oh gosh, maybe 20 years. Andy has written down the customer's symptoms. And then she's checked the customer out. So she gets to read, because our work orders are written. I mean, the story we did on your car is in writing. So she says, you said da 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 da, and the technician checked this and this. He found some dirt here. Then he put a small piece of cardboard, and the fob works every time. He just doesn't know, do you want to do the cardboard or do you want to get a new fob? Because sooner or later, the cardboard will crush to where it doesn't take up that space anymore. So, you know, these are the decisions. So if you just do it this way, it's this much. And if you do a fob, it's this much. But that's the kind of conversation you're going to have at most shops.
Super, super. I appreciate that very much, Mark. I will probably get a new one because I don't like to have things falling apart again.
And how many do you have total right now? Two or just one?
One.
Okay.
It only came with one. And one fee.
You might ask her, if he's going to make one, is there a discount on the second one? Because...
Oh, and maybe a key? I don't know if the key will make a difference or not.
Well, and that's something else. If there's an alarm, if it's just unlocking the doors and your key works fine, you don't need a second fob. But if it is an alarm fob that has an alarm, then, yeah, that's a different story. But the fob is still the same, okay?
Yeah, super. Thank you so much, Mark. Right. Have a blessed day.
And to you too, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, my email address is mark@marksalem.com. If you have a car question or a car problem, then you can call me. If you would leave me your phone number, I typically like to call you back because I'm going to ask you questions just like we do on the radio. You tell me what your problem is, and then I ask you, is it fast or slow or left or right? Does when you turn the air on and off, does it make any difference? Because that's part of the process. So if you, and I can't fix cars over the phone. All I can do is guide you. Unless it's something that, you know, every once in a while I'll hit it lucky and I'll know exactly what you're talking about. But I had a lady not too long ago called me and she said my cruise control canceled for no reason and it just drives me crazy. And I said, I want you to hook your foot underneath the brake pedal and pull the brake pedal towards you. Set your cruise control and with your left foot pull the brake pedal towards you. Don't push on it, but pull it towards you and see if it lasts longer. And she calls back and she says, yes, it doesn't cancel. And I said, okay, well, we just need to adjust the brake switch. That's all we need to do. If we adjust the brake switch, then we'll fix your cruise control problem. That's the kind of back and forth that we're going to have. That's the kind. That's what you hope your shop's going to do. But I can't be everybody's car mechanic. Unfortunately, I wouldn't even want to be everybody's, but that's the way it is. So if you go to marksalem.com, a lot of shops that are highlighted there are shops that I believe in, that I know the owners, I have their cell phones. And I'm proud to tell you that it's been years since I've had a complaint about one of my shops. One of the shops that I send you to, one of the shops that I say, he, Dave Martin at Martin's Auto, he's a good guy. He knows right from wrong, and he's really a good technician. And when I talk about Thompson's and Mesa, same way. So those are people and those are friends of mine that I've known Brian and Thelma's parents since the 1960s. That's how far we go back. So I know their moms and dads, and they were in the gas station business as well, and so was I when I was in high school. So it's a bunch of people that have known one another for a very long time. And really and truly, the guys that open up car repair shops that only last a year or two, that's pretty obvious why. But then you've got other people that have been in the car repair industry, like most of my shops, for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years in the family, like with Dave Martin. And you know, okay, well, he knows the difference between right and wrong. So my email address, again, is mark@marksalem.com. If you have a car question you want me to settle between you and your husband or you and your wife, then just give me the question and give me the particulars, and I'll chime in. If you'll give me a cell phone number and a time that's convenient for me to call. The other day a lady said, any time from 7 in the morning till 7 at night, that makes it easy. Then I'll do that as well. So until next week right here on KKNT at 960, I'll be here 10 to 12 every Saturday, 10 to 12 on 960 AM KKNT.